At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is happening, Chicago Bears fans? This is C Formation Conversation. I'm your host, Lester Wildfunk, editor-in-chief at Windy City Gridiron. And we are joined today by our guy, our lead draft analyst, Jacob Infante. Jacob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Lester. You know, it's finally starting to kick in. You know, the regular season's right around the corner. So it's exciting times for sure. And I mean, you know, this, like, the roster cut down, Hard Knocks, everything going on. I mean, it's hard not to get excited for Bears football.
You mentioned it, the roster cut down. That's why we're here tonight. We're going to kind of go through the roster, you know, position group by position group, kind of go over stuff. Not a lot of surprises today though, which is, I think that's when you have a pretty good roster, which I think the Bears have now, I think that's expected if things kind of go how they're going to go.
Yeah. I put it in a different situation, and we'll see how it turns out tomorrow or, you know, Wednesday, which is when all the waiver claims are going to be filed. But Ryan Poles first year, 2022, they were super active in, you know, claiming people off waivers. I don't expect that's going to be the case again this year, just because, like you said, they have a much better roster, a much deeper roster. And there are a couple cuts where it's like, oh man, that's disappointing that so-and-so didn't, you know, make the team, rather than, oh, I wonder who we can get from, you know, which cornerback can we sign from another team, which linebacker can we sign from another team, something like that. So not too many surprises, all things considered, but it's definitely going to be it's going to be interesting to see how tomorrow plays out too.
I saw you tweet that out earlier, talk about how the difference in Ryan Poles year one. And speaking of Twitter, you can find Jacob Infante at Jacob Infante 24 on Twitter. You mentioned the same thing that you just said. You know, Ryan Poles had a great first year where he was all over the waiver wire. Yeah. Last year, a few. This year, I mean, maybe he looks at a guy, depending who's going on IR. There's some rumors here we'll kind of get into as we get going here. Let's just jump into it here. Let's go to the offense. If you guys are watching over here on Facebook or on our YouTube channel, you can see it here. We got the offense pulled up. Quarterback, not a big surprise, right? I mean, Caleb Williams, Tyson Bagent, those are obviously the first two. I guess the one minor surprise is they're not keeping a third quarterback as of the initial roster. Of course, the third quarterback rule now in the NFL is you have to have a guy on your roster in order to have that, take advantage of the third QB rule, to where you can have him, you know, technically inactive, although he's still part of your active roster on game day. Yeah. But what do you think about Tyson Bagent, man? Year two, UDFA from a year ago from Shepard. I know you were pretty high on him last year, but man, he looks like he has future starter potential for some team in the future here.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely impressed with what Bagent showed in the preseason, and honestly, it's hard not to be. I mean, you see the accuracy, you see the mobility, you see the, you know, he's got a solid arm. He's a composed, confident player. I mean, there's really a lot to like with him, and obviously, there's no real shot for him to take over the starting job with Caleb Williams there in the starting lineup. But I think there's really a lot to like with Bagent. So, I mean, yeah, and it's the preseason, sure, but you're going up against, you know, still NFL caliber talent, yeah. And Bagent's out here dicing them up. I think that even if you're decent as a backup quarterback, that's an incredibly valuable trait to have. And I think that Bagent certainly has the tools to be that. Last year showed some promise. I mean, last year's preseason was really good too. So I'm just curious to see what, you know, what the future holds for him. Because like you said, maybe down the line, there's going to be a team who thinks they could turn him into a starter. And, you know, it's a very valuable thing to have, you know, dangle as a trade piece or even just to have on your roster as the backup, you know, a talented young quarterback who, you know, let's face it, doesn't have a shot at making the starting lineup.
I mean, the odds are pretty good he'll play. I mean,
yeah,
this day and age, a quarterback, you know, they don't really play all 17 games. I mean, yeah, it happens, you know, with a guy that's really, really, you know, stationary in the pocket, really quick getting the ball out. You know, right now we don't know what Caleb's going to be. We're assuming he's going to want to scramble around a bit. You know, we did see his time to throw is a little higher than most because he does try and keep plays alive. He's looking downfield, though, which is one thing nice for him. But the odds of Bajan playing are pretty high, I think, at some point in the season and throughout his career.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, you know, right now he's cost controlled. You know, he's a good asset on this team. But at some point down the road, it makes sense for the Bears to flip him for a draft pick. Now, about the third quarterback, Brett Rypien or Austin Reed come back to practice squad, which one do you think it'll be?
You see, that's tough. I think it'll be Rypien. And I know Austin Reed, you know, being the younger guy, maybe there's a little more upside. Maybe there's a little more arm talent with Reed. But I do think Rypien, that's going to give them essentially another coach. I mean, a veteran QB who's, you know, been in the league, who started games before, and he also had a really good preseason. So to have him in the building around Caleb Williams, around Tyson Bajan, I think is going to be beneficial. So I think it's going to be Rypien. I wouldn't be mad if they played the upside game with Reed. If it's not in Chicago, I do have a feeling he's going to stick around somewhere. Either, you know, on the practice squad or as a third QB, whatever the case may be. But I'd give the edge to Rypien at this point, honestly.
When the move was made earlier today, when they cut Rypien, my first thought was, you know, that means open the door for Austin Reed, because I'm assuming Rypien has done enough in the league and he had a nice preseason. I think a team may take a chance on him.
Yeah.
And they may sign him to be on the active roster. Now, the practice squad is nice, but if someone offers you the third quarterback role, like I said, we talked about that emergency quarterback role, someone offers Rypien a rostered job,
that's
way more money than a practice squad. So I think if that comes around, Rypien will take it. Then, of course, the Bears will pivot to Reed. But man, there's some good upside with Reed. I thought he played pretty good in the preseason. Yeah. Let's jump over to running backs here. Of course, you know, DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson, Travis Homer, no Kari Blassen game, but that was reported, I think it was by Brad Biggs today, saying that he was released to make room for someone else on the roster, and the expectation is he will be re-signed on Wednesday once they put someone on IR. So were you one that thought that Khalil Herbert was on a trade block at all?
I mean, not necessarily. Honestly, I wouldn't put a ton of stock into, you know, that trade offer, just because – running backs in the trade market don't usually have a ton of value as it is, especially one that's going to be hitting free agency in a year. I was of the belief that, I mean, sure, Herbert, for his sake, might be better off on another team just because there'd be more opportunity for him to get touches. But I think having a guy like Herbert for this year plays more, has more value than, say, like a 6th-round pick or something like that. Could going forward. So, I mean, I think he's going to be the second string running back. Roschon, I know, started off as the second string running back in the preseason. I'm going to be interested in seeing, with obviously Swift being the bell cow back, I'm interested in seeing how Herbert and Johnson, how their two workloads, you know, compare. And then Travis Homer being the, you know, the special teams guy. I mean, I guess it makes sense, you know, and especially with Ian Wheeler not being healthy anymore. You know, I suppose that makes sense for him to be on the roster. So also interesting, they have Velus Jones as a receiver when they played him exclusively as a running back later on in the preseason there. So that's a little interesting.
I got a feeling Velus, who we'll talk about in a second, I got a feeling he is definitely going to be more running back than receiver this year.
Yeah.
I mean, 4-3 speed, you know, get the ball in his hands a couple times a game, whether it's a jet sweep, end around, toss out of the backfield, wherever you line him up, you know, get him a couple touches, because he has the kind of speed where if you're on defense, you have to know where he is on the field.
Oh yeah,
just because you have to respect the kind of speed. You know, I mean, he's not at that level of like a Patterson or Hester and these guys that are returners, but he's also there to be in the return game. And who knows? I mean, we have not seen much from the return game in preseason. It was really vanilla.
Yeah. But
from what I understand, some of these special teams coaches have some wild packages and plays designed up to take advantage of the new rules. So it should be good. Let's stay with receiver. We're here now anyway. Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, Tyler Scott. We talked about Bayless.
Yeah.
DeAndre Carter, I'm guessing, is going to be your primary punt returner. So no real surprises at receiver here for you?
I would have put it down as like a 50-50 between DeAndre Carter and Dante Pettis. I mean, when I did my like unofficial predictions or whatever, I had Pettis over Carter, but I guess that, you know, as a wide receiver six, you're not really involving him in the offense. And I know a lot of people wanted Colin Johnson to be that guy to make the team after what he did in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
You know, injuries prevented him from playing, you know, the rest of the preseason, which is unfortunate, but I do think he's someone to keep around on the practice squad where, you know, if you have a wide receiver six, most of that play is going to come on special teams. And if you like DeAndre Carter as your punt returner, then it just makes sense for him to be there. I know Pettis had the return value as well. So obviously they like Carter better than Pettis. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just interested in seeing how that return process plays out. Because, I mean, I feel like it's been a couple of years since they've really had stability at punt returner, like ever since Tariq Cohen got injured.
Yeah.
All those years back. I mean, it's been kind of, you know, just a, you know, a rotation of sorts. So, you know, here's hoping, you know, from a Bears perspective, DeAndre Carter can be that guy and finally settle in and give them some stability that they really need there.
Well, at some point, Pettis got hurt because he went on IR today. I don't remember getting hurt in the game. I'm not sure if that happened, but they didn't want to use a return spot for him. You're allowed 8 designated return spots. They didn't want to use one on Dante Pettis. So if it's not that severe of an injury, I could see him settling for an injury settlement and then maybe down the road looking for another job to kind of come back and compete there. Because, yeah, I kind of was the same way. I kind of thought they had Pettis leaning over there towards Carter because Pettis showed you more on offense in the preseason than Carter did. But Carter is an established, you know, quality punt returner. He's fine.
Yeah.
You know, he'll be okay back there. You mentioned Colin Johnson. Again, I think it was Biggs that reported that they want to bring him back to the practice squad, which, you know, it's probably going to happen. I can't see, you know, a lot of people clamoring for a wide receiver six. But Johnson coming back would be in a good spot here. He's a little bigger body. When you go through receiver sets and kind of do some run blocking for you. I'm not saying he's the tight end-esque, but I think he kind of gives you that same value, like of a move tight end.
Yeah.
And while we're on tight ends, let's go to it. Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, Mercedes Lewis. Brendan Bates got left off the roster. He was a lot of fans thought he had a chance to make it. What's your thoughts on Bates?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bates had, you know, one of the better preseasons as far as tight ends go in the league, really. And, you know, what he showed as, you know, a relatively unproven pass-catching tight end, he more than held his own. And I think that, there, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for that. At the same time, I don't think that any of those three receivers or any of these three tight ends making the roster is any surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all quality players. Kmet is, you know, one of the better starting tight ends of the league. Everett's one of the better tight end twos in the league. Mercedes Lewis still playing at a very high level as a blocking tight end. So, I mean, it's a little bit tougher. And historically, Eberflus has preferred to carry three tight ends over four tight ends. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily shocked that he went with, you know, three tight ends here in this regard. But yeah, I mean, I think Bates, it, probably a good bet to make the practice squad if he clears waivers. And I know you had a tweet earlier. It's like something like 25 players only got, you know, get claimed off waivers. It's a pretty small amount.
Yeah.
In the grand
scheme. Fans are always like, oh no, we can't cut him. We'll never get him back in the practice squad. And rarely does any, like Ryan Nall went through this with Ryan Nall. You know, there's always guys each year where we as fans, as Bears fans, we go through, we're like, oh my God, we can't lose this guy. And for the most part, most of them make it back to the practice squad. And you know, real quick on Bates, did you expect him to be as good a receiver? I know coming out of Kentucky, he was more of a known as a blocking Y, right?
Yeah. So truthfully, I didn't do a ton of pre-draft work on Bates, honestly. So for him to be, you know, performing as well as he did in the preseason was a little bit surprising to me. So I'm just you know, but looking at him now, I mean, seeing what he, you know, possesses as a blocking tight end, but also some of the, you know, some of the move tight end capabilities, some of the fluidity across the middle of the field, there's definitely tools to, you know, to like there. And he didn't take on much of a receiving role at all in college. So to see him, contribute in the passing game in the preseason is encouraging. I mean, I think that you're probably looking at him as a bit more of an inline wide tight end, but at the same time, you know, if you can move him around a little bit, have him as a U, a hybrid of that Y and the F, I think there's, you know, really a lot. There's a lot to like as a developmental piece there. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a starter in the league by any means, but just as like a nice rotational guy, I think down the line he could be one of those guys.
Yeah, I like Bates. I thought Bates was quality in the preseason. You know, I didn't expect much of him coming up, but the fact that he was able to kind of get in there, you know, show himself as a blocker. He was pretty good as a blocker in line, but I was surprised how good he moved. You know, he was a good receiver, good out in space. You know, he ran down the seam well. You know, he's got great size. So I think he's definitely a guy that you can kind of work in there and maybe be Marcedes Lewis's the heir apparent to him to be the backup Y to Cole Kmet. So let's jump over to offensive line. We're talking, they kept 10, which is to me is a little bit of a surprise here. I wasn't expecting them to keep 10, but I think there may be another move here on the way, possibly with injured reserve. So let's run through them. Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Nate Davis, Ryan Bates, Coleman Shelton, Darnell Wright, Matt Pryor, Doug Kramer Jr., Bill Murray, and Kieran Amengaji. And I have been practicing that name because I knew I would have to say it at some point. So 10 offensive linemen. I guess the one big surprise here, because we have heard Flus hype up Bill Murray a bit in the offseason, but Doug Kramer Jr. made it. I'm guessing because he's a backup center, and I'm thinking there may be something with Ryan Bates going to IR or at least maybe missing a few weeks here. What do you think?
I mean, if that is the case, it would definitely make sense for Kramer to make the roster just because, you know, he doesn't play guard and he doesn't play tackle. So he's, you know, strictly a center, which, you know, hurts his value ultimately as, you know, a roster, as a guy on the 53-man roster as a backup offensive lineman, because usually they prefer people who can, you know, rotate in between center and guard a little bit. But, you know, nonetheless, having him on here, he performed well in the preseason. Bill Murray, obviously, you know, another it's always fun to say that, but
right, it is. Yeah,
he was a he was a top performer in the preseason as well. And even if he's never going to be like a, you know, an elite athletic type of offensive lineman, you know, he's technically sound. He knows what he's doing out there. You know, you can tell, like, he, you know, he plays like a pro. And I was a little surprised to see 10 offensive linemen make it. I was a little surprised that Ja'Tyree Carter got waived, let alone, you know, as early as he did. I don't know if there's any, you know, meaning or, you know, symbolism behind the fact that he got waived pretty early, but because he performed well in past preseasons, and, you know, he's been a decent enough rotational guy. But, you know, you bring in Bates, you bring in Pryor, you bring in Amengaji, and then Bill Murray plays well in the preseason, you know, Doug Kramer plays well in the preseason, then, you know, that makes, you know, in theory it makes sense. So I'm going to be curious to see how this depth plays out of the offensive line. You know, God willing, there aren't going to be injuries up front, but, you know, there always are. And that's something you can't control. It's just, you know, part of the game. So I'm curious to see that whenever someone does go down, who are they going to go to? Who are going to be some of the top guys that they prioritize at each respective position?
So it seems like the injury to Ryan Bates kind of kicked Nate Davis's butt in gear a little bit, because, you know, he was missing a lot, obviously, with the injury. We didn't find out, though, it was a groin injury. And, you know, anyone who's ever had a groin injury, and it's really tricky to come back from. So it's one of those things where you can see why he was in practice and then out of practice. You know, it kind of was one of the things where you got to go by feel. If it's not feeling right, you can easily re-injure that. So it made sense from the sit out, but man, his track record in Chicago is not very good as far as injuries go. So I can see why someone who were down on Nate Davis, but Bates missing gave him the spot back. And, you know, look, last year was rough, but prior to that in Tennessee, he was a pretty capable guard. Yeah. So if Nate Davis is right, I think he's probably a better option than Ryan Bates at guard there. You know, the issue then becomes, you know, they wanted Bates to be their center. Do they make another switch when Bates is back? Do they move him in with Coleman Shelton? Do you think Coleman Shelton played good enough to keep that job?
I think so, yeah. And, I mean, we didn't see a ton of Coleman Shelton in the preseason, but I think that going off of last year's tape and, you know, the little bit we saw in the preseason, I think he was good enough to be able to prove that, you know, he looks like he could, you know, maybe not be like a great starter, but at least a capable one, which isn't something the Bears have had at center these last couple of years. So I think even just even average play is a big upgrade for the Bears along that interior offensive line. So I'm going to be curious to see how Shelton does, but I feel confident enough that he'll be better than, say, you know, Sam Mustipher, Lucas Patrick, or, you know, late career Cody Whitehair or something like that. But yeah, I mean, that's not an entirely high bar to reach, though.
Well, he's a pro, like you said. I mean, he's been a pro center here for a few years now. Yeah. He's familiar with the scheme. He was with the Rams, obviously. You know, the interesting thing in here, O-line, is seeing what happens to Ryan Bates. Of course, we know he's hurt. Yeah. They don't give injury reports during the preseason or offseason. So we're not going to get the first injury report till the Wednesday before the Packers game, at which point, you know, I'm sure they have some roster shuffles by then. So if Ryan Bates does not go on IR tomorrow on Wednesday, that tells me that he's probably going to be pretty close, and they're just keeping Doug Kramer as kind of insurance for that in case something happens there. But if it goes to IR, obviously, you know that, you know, he's going to miss at least four games. Yeah. He'll be on the designated return. So it's a good group. It's a much better group on paper than it has the last few years. That's a good thing here. So let's jump over to special teams. Not a lot to discuss here because, you know, it's three guys, but we're talking Kyra Santos, obviously, Torrey Taylor, and Patrick Scales. What were your thoughts with Torrey Taylor this preseason?
I was impressed. I think that, you know, he didn't punt in every single game. And, you know, when you have Corliss Waitman there, you know, he took a couple of those reps at punter. But Torrey looked the part. I mean, you know, you watched him at Iowa. He's got the big leg. He's got good downfield touch. I came away impressed with what I saw from him. And I think the strength, not only that, but the control that he has behind his punts, I think that's going to be really beneficial for him. I mean, I think that's something where, you know, Trenton Gill just necessarily didn't have that touch down the field. And, you know, obviously he put together a strong preseason in those, you know, those Denver wins there, but I feel pretty confident with Torrey Taylor being the guy. Patrick Scales, that long snapper situation is going to be interesting because Scales is hurt. They're saying they're expecting him to miss a couple weeks. They did get rid of Cameron Lyons, the guy who was a long snapper over the preseason. And I mean, he had a couple high snaps, so that's not necessarily shocking. But at the same time, you know, I feel like they're going to have to bring in some sort of guys for tryouts, however they want to designate Scales' injury, you know, depending on, you know, injured reserve, PUP, whatever the case may be, based off of how severe it is. But yeah, I'd expect someone else to, you know, start off those first couple games for the Bears there.
Yeah, I think again it was Brad Biggs who did a great job with his reports all throughout cutdown day. But I think it was Biggs again reported that they're probably going to put Patrick Scales on IR. It's one of the guys they're going to make a move with. So they'll move Patrick Scales to IR, and I would not be surprised to see him. You know, they're going to obviously bring back Cameron Lyons, but I would not be surprised to see a tryout. Like you said, he had a few high snaps in the preseason. You know, maybe bring in a three or four guys as long snapper, give them, you know, have them work out at House Hall for the day, and then you sign the best guy of the bunch. But, you know, Kyra Santos, of course, obviously going to be money here. Again, a kicker here. So, you know, good group of specialists for the Bears. Pretty strong group, all things considered. So do you have any scouting reports on long snappers in the back pocket? No, I didn't.
Not right now, no. I just know that there are a couple guys that I remember. Like I scout maybe like four or five long snappers, and I say scout, you know, to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And truth be told, I don't know. I don't even really know who's out there, so I couldn't, you know.
Well, the only reason I ask because I know you do scout long snappers for your preseason your draft guide you do every year. I know you always have some long snappers in there, so that's why I want to throw you the bone to remind everyone listening that Jacob does have a Patreon. You can kind of get his Patreon. Do you want to tell everyone about your Patreon real quick?
Yeah, no, for sure. So in addition to the NFL draft guide I've been doing the last few years and some of the exclusive draft stuff. I'm going to be doing 5 scouting reports from, you know, the Bears on each week. You know, I did this for the preseason. Every single week, I'm going to be breaking down Caleb Williams, do like a little one-pager scouting reports, strengths and weaknesses, stuff like that, with, you know, advanced analytics, PFF grade, stuff like that. And, you know, obviously the film study. That's not at all going to affect what I do at Windy City Gridiron. I'm, you know, keep doing that. I've had this Patreon for a while. Just, you know, taking a little bit, you know, more of a Bears approach than I have in the past with it. So, yeah, I mean, definitely very excited to see what that's going to look like for the season. We've got some big plans, you know, with articles at WCG and, you know, podcasts and stuff as well. So, if you're not a fan of me, sorry, I guess. Well, you better get used to it. So
there are some podcasts coming up. We are shuffling our podcast lineup here at Second City Gridiron pretty soon, and Jacob's gonna be a big part of that, gonna help us out with a few shows here, hopefully going forward. So let's take a quick commercial break for the podcast side of things, and we'll jump back into it with the defense.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Jacob, we are back talking about Bears' initial 2024 53-man roster. This is going to change, of course, at some point. Of course, the waiver wire is Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central Time. That's when all the waivers are processed. So if the Bears, you know, claim anyone and it makes it to them, they're the ninth in the order. They'll tweak their roster. There's also going to have to be some injured reserve moves that we talked about. They already said they're going to bring back Kari Blasingame. You know, so we talk about Patrick Scales possibly going on IR. So if Scales goes to IR, Blasingame comes back, maybe Ryan Bates, maybe Zach Pickens we're going to talk about here right now when we jump over to the defense, which I can't find. There it is. Nice. Okay, so defensive end, let's talk about it. Montez Sweat, Dominique Robinson lives again. Austin Booker, Daryl Taylor, the new guy from the Seahawks, DeMarcus Walker, and Daniel Hardy. You know, second year, third year pro, I believe, out of the Rams. Is this second year or third year?
I think it's third year. Yeah. I think it's third year. Don't call me.
I know he was with the Rams a year. Yeah, last year he spent with the Bears on their practice squad. This is his third year.
Yeah.
He had an outstanding preseason, man. He was 3.5 sacks. He led the preseason. Of course, the Bears had an extra game. But he led the preseason in sacks, tackles for loss, quarterback hits. But the nice thing about Hardy when you watch those preseason games is – that hits philosophy, right? I mean, he was hustling all over the place. He was running the ball. You know, what are your thoughts on Daniel Hardy making his team?
I mean, I'm obviously very happy for him, and hats off for, you know, a guy who didn't really have a ton of buzz heading into training camp to now explode and be one of the most talked about guys coming out of the preseason. Like you said, you know, the effort really shows up. He's a good athlete. He works his ass off. I mean, honestly, there's you know, for a guy who he's maybe not the biggest edge rusher, not the most traditional 4-3 defensive end sort of prototypical fit, but he makes it work and he works hard to get into the backfield. He's got a good, you know, toolbox of moves he can use to get into the, you know, to get past offensive tackles. So I didn't know if he was going to make the team or not. I'll admit, you know, six defensive ends is a little more than I was expecting them to carry. And like I, at the time, I mean, I thought Hardy outperformed Dominique Robinson in the preseason, but I thought that, you know, just because Robinson was a draft pick, he was a fifth rounder in 2022, that Poles has maybe a little more personal bias towards, maybe. I mean, you know, that might be the case. I'm not sure. But I had Robinson over Hardy, but for both of them to make the team, I mean, obviously it's a good situation for both of them. So, and I also think that, you know, Jacob Martin being hurt as well might've played a role in this too. You know, he, I believe he was on the IR. They put him on, you know, with the possibility to return. Yes. So, you know, he's someone who's played like a, you know, a depth role for teams, you know, these last couple of years. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him, you know, crack the 53-man roster at some point. You know, it's just with the injuries right now, I think this was the best play they could have gone with.
Yeah, it made sense getting Dane Hardy. I had Hardy when I did my initial prediction. I had him off.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to carry six. I'm a little surprised they did. Dominique Robinson was starting through the preseason. That's why I figured he was going to be a lock for this team.
Yeah.
Again, I was not overly impressed with what I saw out of Robinson. They're flashes, right? Like you watch him play and you're like, man, he's pretty good there. He did bulk up a bit this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm guessing that's going to help him set the edge a little better against the run, which he did do pretty good in the preseason, you know, but you know, as a defensive end, man, you got to get after the quarterback. I mean, that's your main job. It's a passing league. You know, that's what he has to do. And he really hasn't done much in that department since his rookie year, the first game against the Niners. He had, I think, sack and a half that game. And since then, I think he's had only one other sack. So Dom Rob making it a little surprising. But man, Austin Booker, this guy had an outstanding preseason. He was a favorite a lot of Bears fans, you know, pre-draft, because we saw the tools, right? We saw this is a guy that kind of could be there in day three, kind of come in and kind of make the team. But I don't think the Bears expect him to be this good right off the start.
No, I mean, I feel like a lot of people would be surprised with, I mean, you see the length, you see the athleticism, you saw that at Kansas in spades, but he looked at the part of, you know, a raw edge rusher, which, you know, by definition he was, because, you know, he redshirted his freshman year, and then his redshirt freshman year, he barely played, transferred from Minnesota to Kansas, and then had a great redshirt sophomore year, and then, you know, went right to the pros. So maybe a little bit more of that one hit, that 1 year wonder in college. You're thinking, oh, maybe this is a guy who might not contribute right away, but he's someone who's got the tools to develop into something down the line. But, you know, like you said, I mean, he contributed really well in the preseason. The tape was impressive. The, you know, the refinement in just, you know, like how many different moves he can use to win at the point of attack was really impressive. And, you know, he's still a little bit lighter. The pad level could get a little bit better, but the quickness, the length, the football IQ, the effort, all there. And, you know, going back to the hits thing, that's definitely, he was a hits player. There were a handful of times where, you know, he's working off of blocks and chasing down quarterbacks or running backs to make plays near the line of scrimmage. So I came away really impressed with Booker. And, you know, obviously, you know, I felt he was going to make the team. I'm not surprised he did, but I think he really put himself into a position to, you know, carve out a nice niche for himself in year one.
The way it was trending, it looked like they were content with going with Booker as their defensive end number three.
Yeah.
And of course they swing a trade for Darrell Taylor, who, you know, I've watched a little bit of his film from Seattle. He's another active player. I mean, he's a little bit crazy. I mean, we saw those crazy eyes in the press conference, you know, but he's a guy that, I mean, he'll want to talk a little bit. I mean, this is what you want on defense though, right? Real chippy guys. I think Taylor will fit in good with that group. And I think it's also now lets DeMarcus Walker have more opportunities to kick inside the defensive tackle too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good point too, with Walker being the type of guy, you know, on rundowns, you can put him as an edge rusher. On passing downs, maybe he provides a little more speed than, you know, an Andrew Billings, maybe, you know, Zach Pickens, who, you know, we'll get to in a little bit. You know, he's, you know, dealing with some injuries right now, but I think that's a good point. The inside outside versatility with Walker, you can kind of treat him as a defensive end, defensive tackle, either or.
Let's jump into defense tackle. You talked about Andrew Billings, obviously Jervon Dexter Sr., Chris Williams, they picked up in a trade from the Browns, and then Zach Pickens, who you did say is battling a bit of an injury here, and that was another rumor that was going around, you know, social media, that it's possible Pickens, depending on the severity of the injury, he could be another guy you decide to put on an injury reserve at some point here. So, you know, what were your thoughts on the Chris Williams trade? I know there were a lot of Bears fans like, oh my God, you know, why are you trading this for this guy? You know, that's the game that GMs played. Did you watch much Chris Williams tape when he was in Cleveland?
Honestly, no. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I, you know, did an incredibly deep dive on Chris Williams, but, you know, just looking at him from the preseason alone, he, you know, racked up 2 sacks along the interior for the Browns, graded out very well. PFF had him as an 80.1 in the preseason with a pass rush grade of 81.6. You know, 4 total pressures, 2 quarterback hits, 3 stops against the run. So obviously, you know, a top performer in Cleveland there. So if they wanted to play it safe, they see a young guy where he's like, hey, maybe he can be something for us, then a 6th, 7th round pick swap isn't going to kill you. I mean, there are way worse trades that you can make. So I guess like the stakes are so low there that I couldn't even be mad at it, even if I wanted to be. I just think it's like, oh, okay, you know, they needed depth. Yeah. They got a guy they think could be better depth. So, you know, if their evaluations are correct, then, you know, in theory, it should be a good move.
I talked to people that cover the Browns, and they said he had a really good preseason. They said he looked good. You know, he was a bubble guy. But part of it is because the Browns have a pretty good defensive line. They have a good group of young tackles there. I think they had a couple draft picks, you know, from the last couple of years that's really starting to come into their own. So Williams was the odd man out. He's also having a great camp. He had a good preseason. And, you know, the preseason stuff, everyone sees that, right? So all teams around the league saw Williams in preseason, really active, good hands, you know, good penetration here. So the Bears being 9th in the wire, it's worth it. Look, let's do a pick swap. We'll get your guy. You don't got to fight the waiver wire. You bolster a spot like we talked about. Zach Pickens possibly has an injury here. And then now if you only have 3 healthy DTs, then you have to move Walker to tackle once in a while. So I like the move. You know, it's one of those upside moves. He's still fairly young. He has worked with Flus in the past with the Colts. I think he had him his rookie year. So there's some familiarity there. So good move. No complaints on the D-line. 10 I thought was a little more, but, you know, get after the quarterback, you know, go after him in waves, you know, really bring those guys off the edge and get after it. So let's jump to linebacker. No surprises here. I think this is everyone had the same 5 during the entire preseason in their predictions. TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Jack Sanborn, Noah Sewell, and Amen Agbonbamiga. Is that it?
Yeah, that sounds it. Yeah.
You don't know how to say it either, do you?
I've been saying Agbonbamiga.
That's better than mine. Yeah, way better.
I think we both said the same thing, just different. Yeah,
you said it with more confidence, though. That's what
matters. Yeah. So people think I'm getting it right, but yeah. I might not be. But
so I guess the only minor surprise here is Noah Sewell did not have a very good preseason. He was injured again. You know, last year he kind of had the same thing, kind of missing time with injury. But when he did play last year, I thought he played pretty good in the preseason. This year, we didn't see much out of him, but obviously he's a draft pick. So he's going to kind of get that extra thought here. You know, you're not going to play a bunch of linebackers. So Carl Jones Jr., who had a nice preseason out of UCLA, probably comes back to the practice squad. So I would not be surprised if as the year goes on, if they don't see something out of Sewell, I would not be surprised to see a move made at some point.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't shock me either. You know, Carl Jones being a guy who performed well in the preseason, Micah Baskerville.
Another one.
You know, he was on the practice squad last year. Not too many surprises here necessarily. I mean, I just think I look at it as Edwards, Edmonds, and Sanborn were all locks. Agbonbamiga had a decent enough contract, and he also performed very well in the preseason. Again, yeah, Sewell dealt with some injuries, didn't light it up when he did play, but him being a young guy, a draft pick, who had flashes last year and looked really good in college, I mean, you know, it makes sense to, you know, stick with him here. So I'm curious, though, to see what the practice squad's going to shape up to be, because you could have 2 guys who end up cracking the practice squad there.
Yeah, I was hearing some buzz, you know, about the new kickoff rule, how a lot of teams may stack their roster with linebackers. Bears only kept 5. I'd imagine at least 2 make the practice squad. And I would not be surprised to see maybe a couple guys active each week because you got that practical elevation. Yeah. Maybe you bring a couple guys up just kind of play special teams for you, kind of depending how the roster goes. So at corner, I don't think a lot of surprises here. Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson, Josh Blackwell, Terrell Smith, Jalen Jones. There were some good players cut, though. Reddy Stewart, Greg Stroman Jr. You obviously are a fan of Reddy Stewart. You think he makes back the practice squad if he clears waivers, obviously?
I think so, yeah. I think that, you know, it'd be hard not to be impressed with what he put together in the preseason. It's just a difficult situation because, you know, Josh Blackwell is the incumbent backup nickel corner. And, you know, Stewart, he's also a nickel corner. He plays his best ball out of the slot, and you're not going to have him play on the outside just because, oh, you know, he looked good in the slot, whatever. You know, it's a positional thing. You want to be able to make sure you're maximizing with, you know, the best talent and the best fits you can. So Blackwell and Smith making the roster is not necessarily surprising. Jalen Jones also makes sense. I feel you could have gone either way with him or Stroman as that other backup outside cornerback, but you know, Jones makes the cut. He's been on the team before, so it makes sense. But yeah, I think Stroman looked good. He's looked good in the past and past preseasons. Reddy Stewart, I think, did an incredible job of boosting his stock over the course of the preseason, and he's got a lot to be proud of. So I know we all say, oh, you know, maybe a team's going to claim, you know, whoever. If a team does need help as like a slot corner, I think Reddy Stewart could be worth a shot. But yeah, if, you know, we say that every year, and so many of these guys do clear waivers and make it on the practice squad. So if Stewart does, then absolutely, I think he's someone worth bringing back in that sort of role.
I mean, if Stewart is claimed, you bring back Stroman. If both are claimed, I mean, so be it. I mean, there are some other guys they had in camp. They had Roe Torrance in camp, good length, you know, really raw corner. I think they have a chance. So this is a really good cornerback group that was in there this whole offseason. So I think the Bears know what they have there, and if they have to bring a guy back, I think they're going to be content with whoever they end up with. Plus, you know, their scouts are working the film too. They're seeing other guys, other teams. You know, it's not just the Bears that had a strong group of corners. I'm sure there's some other corners out there that were cut that the Bears may have want to take a play at. So safety, Jaquan Brisker, Kevin Bayard III, Jonathan Owens, Elijah Hicks. You know, I've not been overly impressed with Hicks during his time in with the Bears. He has gotten better each year, but you know, Jonathan Owens, Bayard, and Brisker, those are obviously your top three safeties. You know, Adrian Colbert, who, you know, I know you didn't watch Hard Knocks tonight, but he had a nice spotlight on Hard Knocks tonight. So, you know, maybe he's a guy that some would be surprised about, but I see no surprise here. How about you?
Yeah, I don't necessarily see a surprise here either. I mean, you could have made an effort or an argument for Colbert or Tarvarius Moore being brought in as like that fifth safety. I mean, they both showed promise, you know, whether on defense or special teams, whatever the case, but historically, Eberflus has kept on four safeties, you know, two free safeties, two strong safeties. And, you know, this is what you're looking at here in this secondary. So I can't say I'm necessarily surprised. Hicks, you know, having the upper hand and experience in this system, and him being, again, a Ryan Poles draft pick is a little bit different than, you know, you're just signing a guy. But yeah, I mean, I can't say. So this is probably the least surprising one. Out of, you know, you could have argued a fifth safety making the team, but I think that out of the four who made it, I can't look at that and be stunned that any of them did.
Yeah, I think Hicks, like I said, he's gotten better each year. You know, he is a core special teamer. That's kind of where his place in his roster. You know, with Owens now signed, he'll be your first safety off the bench. It kind of puts Hicks in a good spot as a safety four. You know, so again, no surprises here. You know, what are your thoughts? You know, there's some stuff made about how the Bears are not going to flip their safeties. You know, if they're not going to go free strong, they're going to kind of let you play right left, which I think is a benefit for as far as coverage goes. Do you like that change? And do you think Brisker kind of play that? When he is stuck in the free role, do you think Brisker has those kind of ball skills?
I think he's capable of it. I mean, I feel like there are some safeties in the league where you worry a little bit about, okay, do they have enough range to play a free safety? Are they athletic enough? I don't think that's an issue with Brisker. I don't think he's ever going to be like a ball hawking, you know, Mike Brown, Eddie Jackson type of safety, but he'll see someone who will cover his ground in coverage, someone who can shoot downhill, make some tackles. He's a quality starting safety. So I think that from, just a mechanical perspective, that actually might be better for them to not keep switching from left to right. Cause you go about it differently, covering the left side of the field than covering the right side of the field, from like a technique perspective. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the regular season. I mean, I think, the group they have this year, there's been some issues with depth at safety in the past. I feel like Owens is a big, upgrade in that regard. And I'm not saying he's like a superstar or anything, but he's, markedly better than what they had as a backup safety last year. And then Elijah Hicks, he's another young guy. You bet on him to develop. I mean, that's a safety group that I feel pretty good about, at least for 2024, for sure.
Owens started a bunch of games for the Packers last year. He had, that big hit, that late hit on Fields. So when the signing was made, man, Bears fans were pissed off. We're like, man, get this guy out of here. He's a Packer. He's got that cheese stink on him. But, he's a good football player. He's more strong than free. Obviously, he's a hitter. That's what he does. But I think he's a good quality player. And, again, another guy that is going to be a core special teamer. So, I think the Bears have a pretty good roster. This is obviously their deepest, best roster since Ryan Poles took over. And again, you highlighted it on your tweet earlier today. There'll be a couple moves, and we'll finish up here with the injured reserve, because that's the last part of the moves today. And you already mentioned Jacob Martin. They put him on IR with a designation to return. Also going on that list is Larry Borum. And then season ending, of course, Ian Wheeler, the UDFA running back, tough to see him go. Yeah. Zimba Webster, Dante Pettis, and then Douglas Coleman III, who injured his back in the last preseason game. He was technically put on waivers. If he clears, he'll revert to Chicago's injured reserve list, or they can kind of waive him with a settlement. But right now you're already using two of your eight spots on Borum and Martin. And last year, if you remember correctly, they used one of those eight spots on Khalid Kareem, who was a fringe guy to begin with. He was on the injured reserve, which the designation to return. He came back after his four games, and they cut him. Yeah. It's like, what are we doing here? So hopefully Jacob Martin's actually going to contribute when he does get off the injury list. Yeah. Have you heard anything about the Borum or the Martin injury? Again, they're really secretive. Have you heard anything at all?
Not particularly, no. I mean, honestly, Martin didn't – I don't think he played in the preseason. So going off of that, there's not really, some question marks there, but he's been a decent enough rotational guy wherever he's gone. I feel like, once he does come back, he'll be able to crack the 53. Larry Borum, maybe not the best fit for this new offense. I mean, him again, not being a Poles pick, inherited from the old regime. I don't know if he will crack the 53. I guess that depends on, whatever they feel like at, Matt Pryor at offensive tackle. Do they want to put Karana Magaji as their main, swing tackle, so to speak? So that'll be interesting to see. But no, I mean, they've been pretty quiet about a lot of these injuries. So I guess, that's the sort of thing we'll just have to wait and see, honestly.
I'm glad you mentioned Karana Magaji, because I think Borum is still here because they're not sure about Amagaji. They don't think he's ready yet. Yeah. He obviously was hurt. He missed part of the preseason. They didn't get a chance to see him play. He missed a lot of camp because Borum had that salary escalator. So he's making like $3 million a year.
Yeah.
As a fringe bubble guy, I figured that there was a chance they would cut him just to save the cap savings. So maybe they're keeping him on around just to see how Amagaji develops. And if Amagaji develops like they want to during the next 4 weeks of practice here, the next 5 weeks, whatever it is, before they have to activate Borum. Maybe Borum is a guy that kind of they reactivate, and then they waive him right away because, such is the life of a GM. You got to kind of make some of these moves with a look to the future. You don't know how things will play out, but good overall roster, Jacob. I mean, this is a good football team. And I know last time we talked, we talked a little bit about record, but now we're closer to the season. Obviously, preseason's over. The Bears won preseason, 4-0. What's your prediction for the Chicago Bears in 2024?
So my heart's telling me to go 10-7. My mind's telling me to go 9-8. I'm going to lower my expectations a tiny bit just so I don't hurt myself like I have so many times in the past. I'm going to go 9-8. And I mean, but this is a better team than last year. This is and a way better team than 2 years ago. I mean, just not just the starting lineup, but the depth that this team has. It's really impressive. And, you know, hats off to Ryan Poles for, you know, finding good free agents to stack the roster with, drafting good guys and finding players in undrafted free agency to be able to bring into the organization. A lot of tough decisions were made today and, you know, were talked about over the last couple of days. So obviously we'll see who cracks the practice squad and what, but I'm going with 9-8 just because you never know. I mean, you've got the Packers and the Lions. You're playing, you know, four out of your games are those guys, and they're always tough. I mean, the Bears played the Lions well last year. I wouldn't be shocked if they win another game next year or this coming year. But still, that's a, you know, an NFC powerhouse. The Packers have had the Bears numbers for, you know, a handful of years now. So I don't want to go too over the top, but I do think that the non-conference and the non-divisional schedule is favorable for the Bears. There's going to be a good opportunity, a good stretch of games where it's like Washington, Arizona, New England, or something like that in whatever order. That I think is going to be really beneficial to, you know, chance to potentially stack up a winning streak and then go into the divisional part of the year with some momentum. I'm going to say 9-8 just because, you know, a rookie, I know
you're staying guarded. I get it. I mean, like you said, a rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams, you know, a lot's on his plate, which I think he kind of he embraces it, right? He wants to be that guy, you know. But still, you're still a rookie. You know, CJ Stroud season, very rare. I know a lot of Bears fans look at that and say, "Oh, that's the bar." That's not the bar. That's like a historic measure. I mean, asking a guy to kind of hit those historic marks, it's not realistic. But I think Caleb Williams can hit around 3,500 yards.
Yeah.
25 touchdowns, something like that, you know, move the offense, move the chains, you know, and he even talked about it, you know, in a lot of his interviews, how he's just there to kind of feel the offensive flow, keep the ball moving and play point guard. You know, in a couple of years, we'll see him, the true Caleb. We'll see him kind of take over games if he has to, but he's content, you know, being part of the machine as a rookie. And 9 wins is fair. That's a fair.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think 9-10 wins. I think I went to 10 just because, you know what, I got to get to 10. The key is the early part of the season, right? You said, so there's some easy games there on paper. If they get some momentum, they get hot, they start getting things going. You know, momentum's a real thing, man, in the NFL. So if they get hot and then they're going into those division games and they win that first one, now it's like, you know, look out, you know, the Bears are for real. And, and a lot of people around the league, a lot of analysts, a lot of pundits, you know, a lot of them are predicting good things from the Bears this year. So as Bears fans, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy this ride.
Oh yeah. No, I'm stoked for it. And like in theory, I mean, Caleb Williams should be an upgrade at quarterback right out of the gate. But again, you know, it's a rookie quarterback. There are going to be mistakes just naturally. And you know, the defensive line still has some questions, but just overall the depth of this team, the effort of this team, the culture that's being, you know, established here. I think it's definitely, things are trending in the right direction for sure.
Nice. Jacob, thanks for jumping on. Man, I know it was like, I called you last minute today, right? I'm like, oh my God, we got to do a 53 man roster breakdown. So thank you so much for jumping on last minute with me. Make sure you guys all follow Jacob. There it is on the screen at Jacob Infante 24. His Patreon information is on his Twitter. You can find his Patreon information on all his articles at WCG2. Wednesday, we're going to have the practice squad tracker going up. I got to get that done as soon as I get off the air here. So we got a ton of stuff coming. Season's right around the corner. So for Jacob, for me, bear down, everyone.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.